Spiritual maturity. So my whole goal tonight is, you know, honoring God, right? But I really want to inspire you, spiritual maturity. You know, I looked it up, and that's why I give you definitions, but I changed my mind. If it comes up, it's the Holy Spirit. But I want to inspire you to grow, right? I want to encourage you tonight that you can grow, and you're going to see it in the scriptures. And we're going to have a lot of scriptures, so I hope you have your pens out. And I'm not using Google. I'm using my regular paper. So it might take me a minute. If somebody can turn to, or actually just reference, it's in Titus 2, verse 3. And it just kind of outlines my purpose tonight. I'm really the only one that we're talking about in the church. And my role is not just to teach you how to be, let's say, good wives, but it's to help you learn from what I learned from the scriptures to encourage you with my life and how God has worked in it so that you can grow. I'm saying this to say that we're here for you.
Thank you.
Remember that you see an old woman in the faith? We're here for you. The Father did not command us to do it to you.
Come on, Carla.
So that's the first thing. When you see me, I'm here for you. All right. So here's the thing, spiritual maturity. Without the definition, I think if you look it up though, maturity is growth, right? When you think of a baby, what do babies do? What can they do? They cry, they're cute.
They laugh.
They make you laugh. They make you get mesmerized. They're fragile. You have to take care of them. All of that is cute, but they have to be taught. What is the purpose of a baby? It's not just to take care of them. A baby has a purpose, right? And we don't. If they're born just to be born and be cute, then what? There's a reason why we are born.
Right.
You wore with babies once, right? So there's a purpose behind you being born. And if a baby is not cared for and all those good things, we know it dies. But if it's not taught or trained, have you ever met a baby or a child that looks like it hasn't been taught or trained to do anything?
Yeah.
They can be spoiled, obnoxious, they become burdens. They become distractions. They're really not good for anything except how it helps you come up with good ideas on what you can do to help fix them. So that's, you became a disciple because God called you out. You heard the good news and you responded to it. Nobody forced you. You got baptized and was born again. That makes you a baby. And you didn't know it that God had a plan for you. Just like we might have plans for the new babies we come across, your own or niece and nephew. You know God has a plan for you. You read it in Jeremiah 29:11. Right? And you know that, and that's why you became a disciple. But being born again, you started over. Alright? Now you're not your own. Now you belong to God. He is your Father. And if you look at 1 John 3:1, I'm gonna reference this again. I'm not gonna move too fast, but I'm gonna move fast enough.
We're with you.
It says, how great is the love of the Father? How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God? And that is what we are. The reason, well, I'm going to leave it right there. We're children of God. We are in a relationship with God. Yeah. It's not something we decided upon. The Bible tells us that God loved us first. And us hearing the good news and becoming disciples, we responded to that love. But now that we're disciples, and now that you're being raised up, you can't just be babies. It's nice. You studied the Bible. That was fun. It was exciting for you and for me and for anybody that was in the studies. It wasn't just for the baby. It was for the people that was helping to nurture the baby. But if you look at Hebrews 5:14, there's a reason. Again, God has a plan for you. And what did God say in 5:14? But solid food is for the mature who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. There's a purpose. You became a baby. You decided God was your Father. He loves you like if you had children, I think you loved them. God loves you even more. Alright? So he's your Father. He has an expectation for you to do what? To grow up. Alright? There's other scriptures that talk about you don't want to keep going through the elementary teachings of the Bible, where you just keep looking over the studies and or you look up the scripture every morning and, you know, okay, I read the scripture. You have to grow. And I'm going to tell you, you will not grow with just a spoonful of sugar every morning. Okay, you can say you read your Bible. But is that mature? Do I really care if I walked in here today and I said, who read their Bible today? And all of you put your hand up. I'm not going to walk away here and think that's great. Then I'm going to say, well, what did you read? And if you tell me, oh, I was reading something in Hebrews, then I'm not going to walk away and say, that's okay. I'm going to say, well, what did you get out of it? Because of the depth of how we are growing and what we are called to do, we're disciples. There's Jesus and we're his siblings, right? Jesus is above everything, right? We don't just do things halfway. It comes with a depth and a quality that's what helps you. And the promise is, you're going to grow. There's no, God is not a liar. You are going to grow. And the reason why you're growing is because you have something else to give. Everybody's story is useful and unique and necessary. You think about the studies when you were having it. Whoever was sitting there, the Holy Spirit guided them to share something that made you look at it and go, because the Bible was around you, around most of us all our lives. It was always around, it just wasn't alive to us. It became alive when God himself called us out, provided the people to teach it to us, and it gave us, opened our hearts. It gave us the people to make it more real, just like he did with Jesus. Send Jesus so we can know the Bible that God is real, and then he sends other people to help you know that his teachings are real. And when the people walk away, you have to continue on and not just like looking at the notes. You have to kind of dig in there because you need to grow. Because God has a plan for you. And it's not just your career. It's not that you get a better relationship with your mom or, you know, you get married in life and you have a great family. That's not the plan. God has a plan that is so much bigger than what you can imagine. You won't know until you submit and grow up in your faith. Because without that faith, you won't see it. You'll just keep saying, you'll give him the glory. God blessed me with this. God did that, but you do not have the depth and the maturity that it takes to live the life for the plan he has for you, and then turn around and give it to the people around you. Because that's one of the greatest commandments. Love one another, right? Love your neighbor like you love yourself. You can't do it without maturity.
Yeah.
You can't do it without knowledge of God. So the more you, okay, I have a scripture. Hold on a second here. I said, in Hebrews, it said it teaches you how to learn right from wrong, right? You become more self-aware and less self-centered and more God-dependent and obedient as you grow. If you think about what you were like before you became a Christian, even if it was a week ago or while you were studying, so now that I'm married, so I've raised all my kids and I've been around a long time, it'll be 26 years in July.
Wow.
And that sounds good, but that's not so good. It's good because I've been faithful. But what has kept me faithful are the challenges. And they have been many, and they have been hard. And there were times where I just said, I can't. I didn't say I was leaving, but I just said, I can't. I laid down, and I cried, and I just couldn't do it. I just couldn't see anything anymore. But somehow, 26 years, I'm here. And that has given me the maturity to look at other people and say, it's not, hey, you can do it. I can really hear and listen to somebody's pain because I've experienced a lot of pain.
Yeah.
And it's not that it was bad. It was good because I'm studying the Bible with somebody right now. And she is going through some things that she had never thought she would experience. And I'm sitting there listening to her. And every time she opens up about something, it's my life. Wow. And it's hurting her so bad that it hurts me to see her. But then it's good because after she opens it and it's breaking and she's, you know, she finally gets it in the light, I don't say right away. You know, we share the Bible and then I'm real tentative, but it is amazing to tell her, let me tell you what happened to me. And it mirrors. Her life is mirroring mine, which makes me go, wow, I know I'm not the only one. I mean, we're not unique, but,
yeah.
And she is encouraged. It's not because of me, because I don't know. I mean, God has me there to share that, but it blows my head that, like I said, God has a plan. That's not about my job. In fact, I met the lady at church one Sunday because somebody said, come over here. She's got twins. Okay. But now it turned out to be something bigger because in my maturity, I can sacrifice my time give up my life and my plans to sit and listen to this woman, to not want to be, oh, I know that, to really just listen and really be amazed at what God is doing, and then share it with her, mm-hmm. to encourage her, so that she can have the courage to believe God, not me, but to think, if this lady actually understands, and I do, then God is really here to help me, and if he helped her, he's going to help me. That's what they, so she's been calling me a lot with things that are super challenging. They're hard triggers for me, but they're really not, because God made himself clear.
Amen.
He's got me here. So yeah, I may think it's a trigger, but actually when I hang up the phone, God just gave me the wisdom and discernment to do what I needed to do.
Amen.
So I want to encourage you with that story and that setup. Do you want to grow? I'm asking you all. Do you want to grow in Christ, or do you want to kind of sit and, you ever look at the beach, you see a piece of, I don't want to say trash, so I'll say a piece of wood or something, come floating by, and you know, you step out the way of it, hey, go on the shore, and it washes back out, it has no purpose. And that's what we are. We just sit around and come to church and maybe read our Bible. You know, I hear a lot of people, young and old, say to me, I don't know what's the matter. I haven't read my Bible. It's been about a week. And I go, okay, Then I go, why not? What's going on with you? I don't know. I just can't connect. That's not mature. That's a problem. Because maturity, I'll tell you, it requires discipline.
Yeah.
And discipline is not never, ever easy.
Right.
The only easy discipline is like if you decide, I'm going to eat everything I want whenever I want. And I'm not saying no. Well, that's easy. Anything that's easy is not a discipline. Mm-hmm. You try it, and I did this last week. I said I was going to fast on a Monday. I was going to fast. At first I thought, and I know better, I was going to say 21 days. But I was like, man, you're not prepared for that. So I wrestled with it. Then I said, I'm going to fast for a day. Well, by the time the day came, it came down to, well, what am I going to fast? Is it going to be food, or is it going to be just drink? You know, my mind going to go for one day.
Yeah.
And when I stopped, what I did was I just decided and prayed about it. I'm not going to eat any solid foods, and I'm going to do from sun up to sundown. That's not simple enough. No. The way we are designed and the way my mind goes, everything in the world wasn't food. Oh, my head hurt. My mouth is dry. Should I really be doing this? All of that was going on, but it was a discipline. I refused to quit.
Yeah.
And by the time, and I prayed, and I had to work. So I was praying, and I was trying to stay focused because I'm working, but I really, I'm not being legalistic, but I need to go sit somewhere and talk to God about what's going on. And after I finished and I devoured my food when I broke that fast, I said to myself, you know what? You need to do it again. So I did. And I was sick, but I did it. And that was not, my point is, the discipline is not easy.
Yeah.
If you said you were going to leave your house to get the word, everything, if you have to be there at 8, you say, you know what, I'm going to leave my house every morning at 6:45. You will leave at 6:50, you'll leave at 6:53, you'll leave at 6:20 maybe, you'll leave at 5 to 7, anything except that exact time until you keep doing it and keep doing it and keep doing it until it becomes a habit.
Yeah.
And that's what your spiritual maturity has to be.
Yeah.
It has to become, not because you've got discipling partners and you meet and come to church, has to become your decision to create a habit that is, why would you do this? Because
right.
You're a disciple and God has a plan for you. And without your obedience and submission, you're not going to find out what it is. There's no growth. You want to take the hard route. You want to try hard to, you want to decide that 10 years from now, you're still going to be somewhere in the church, right? You want to be a faithful disciple, right? You want to be able to help other people become disciples, right? Well, you're sharing your faith, and I admire campus because you guys are like the machine that cranks in disciples. And then what? Can you disciple somebody right now? The Bible says, let me see if I got this one right. Is it Philippians 3? Philippians 3:12. Because I got them all over my page. Let's look and see. I'm pretty sure that's what it is.
Come on, Carla.
Philippians 3:12. Oh, well, that's my ending one. So don't go there. That's the one I'm going to wrap it all up with. I'm bringing us home with that one. it's not second Peter. I written it down. All right, I'm going to find it for you. I got a lot of notes here. The Bible says you have to be one who is, maybe you can help me, maybe it's Hebrews 6. I have that one. It's probably Hebrews 6:1. This is the one I referenced. Therefore, let us leave the elementary teaching of Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death. So you don't want to be in the cycle of you leave here tonight, then you call up somebody tomorrow, you know what, I really want to talk to you because, you know, I lied to my professor. And then the person says to you, okay, let's look at some scriptures. Then you look at the scriptures and you repent. And you decide you're not going to lie to your professor again. But then next week you do the same thing. And you go, you know what, I really study it out in my mind, so I really got to get this right. And you're in this cycle where somebody has to keep teaching the same thing over and over and over. There's something missing there. And you have to decide, do you just like to be baby? And not that I'm saying that discipling is baby, but take it from the mature point of view that I'm trying to share. You have to grow. You have to own your sin, and then you have to grow past your sin. Not in a way that, you know, as Carlos said, you know, we keep repeating stuff with babies. I will always be a sinner. And there's things that I do sometimes that I'm shocked that I do because I'm so old in the faith. But as you grow in your maturity, as you mature, you begin to really understand what the mind of God is like. And it helps me to see my need for God.
Yeah.
If I was ever going to overcome sin forever, I don't need God.
Right.
The only time that that happens, and I have the scripture for it, and that's my ending one, is, all right, here it is, 2 Timothy 2:15. Let's go here. This is the one. This is why you want to go. 2 Timothy 2:15. Now I'm going to wrap it up. You can take it away in a minute. To God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of the truth. That's what you want. How can you do that if you don't discipline yourselves to learn how to be a disciple? Right? That's right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Jeremiah 29:11, God has a plan for you. And so you have to participate in that plan by really trying to do, it's not, you can't get saved by works. But you're not just going to lay around like driftwood and expect things to happen. It doesn't work like that. And you know that because a lot of you are still trying to convert your parents and stuff, right? Or family members or friends. They're just sitting around. And if you just sit around and don't talk to them, it hasn't been happening.
Right.
You really want that. You pray for them. You try to get advice for them. You invite them out, right? And nothing is happening. You have to be a workman who can handle the word and the truth. And I'm not saying that you're not handling it, but this is how you have to grow. Because everything is in God's time, but you want to know that when you showed up, you were the one that God sent. Like the you Philip in the Ethiopian eunuch, you want to show up and do what God wants you to do and not try to figure it out on the spot, right?
Yeah.
You're an ambassador. So here's the thing. I'm going to give you some practicals, right?
Come on.
How do you grow? First, you read your Bible consistently and in a disciplined way. And you have to figure that one out, like I said. You gotta, you know, present yourself as a workman who's approved, right? Do you agree that that's necessary?
Yeah.
You can't show up, and then you can't not show up because you haven't been reading your Bible. You have to let God do what he does. You have to trust God so that he will use you and show you that he's in control. So you don't not show up. You show up, and you may be slow in learning, but you will grow. I don't have a formula. These are practical suggestions. Even if you're not reading your Bible, you show up because God is going to work. And you will have, and you pray for your change of heart, and you read your Bible. It's just, if you're going to read your Bible because you won't know if you don't read your Bible. You don't want me to tell you everything because I can't, and I'll tell you I won't. After a while, I just got other things I got to do, right?
Yeah.
And, I wish I could be smooth with this.
You're pretty smooth, girl.
In Acts 18:26, just make this reference. It says how, it's talking about, who are they talking about, right? They begin to speak boldly in the synagogue. And again, this goes back to the old women, myself and Allison, and if you don't mind me calling you a woman, right?
Oh.
Wendy, right? It says that he spoke boldly in the synagogue. When Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they invited him to their home and explained to him the way of God more adequately. You want to be able to do that. You know, you want to be able to help people really understand. I work with a lot of people who tell me they're Christians. And I watch a lot of people, and if I had to pick out that they were Christians, I could not tell by their behavior. They think they are. So sometimes, and I have done this in my job now, I have to show them the scripture, ask them what they think, or they show me the scripture, and then when they explain it to me, I kind of re-explain it to them from a bigger perspective, and that helps. Then they have a better understanding. Whatever God is doing, that was my role, and that's what you want to do. You want to sit in and disciple people, you want to help them. You want to be able to study. You don't have to talk, you want to learn. You want to be able to grow because you have a purpose to be, you're in God's kingdom. You want to ask questions. I don't know how many times I walk around everybody in here, and I do this on Sundays, and I do it when I show up here on Wednesdays, and I'm giving you my numbers, and you don't have to call me in line. But, you know, I know for me, I ask a lot of questions from a lot of people about a lot of things that have to do with the Bible. If I don't understand something, or I'm trying to find a loophole, like maybe this could be a loophole. Maybe somebody could say this. I ask somebody, and I look it up on Google, I cross-reference it. You have to ask a lot of questions in order to grow. You cannot, what does the Bible say? Do not what? Lean on your own understanding. You can't think you can figure it out. That is, you do not want that. You want to ask a lot of questions. You want to share your thoughts. I really do want to know what you think about things you're reading. I hardly ever get to hear about what you might be studying out, how you're adding it and making it into your life. I want to know. I want to know. I love that you pray and fast so you can get to graduate school, but I also want to know how you handle every day. What are you doing with your parents? Like, talk to me so I can know what's going on with you, and it's not so I can help you. You may not need my help because you got God, but it helps me to help other people because I'm around a lot of people all the time. So you need to be sharing your thoughts, even if you question it. It's okay. God was God before you came. He's going to be God when you're not around. He has the answer. If I close my eyes right now and say, I do not believe that everybody, that all the campus girls are here. Now my eyes are closed and I don't see you. Does that mean you're not here? No, you're still here. And God's power is God's power. Nothing changes that. So you can question him. I would say, and I hope it's appropriate, you can question them up the yin-yang. It's fine. If you read and study in your Bible, there's people who wrestle with God, people who cursed at God, people who were mad at God, people who were hiding from God. Your spiritual maturity, if you read your Bible, you'll see these things and be encouraged and inspired that the same human that you are is in his Bible. And you will be okay with yourself once you start learning to see that you already are in here. This is not a new story. Nothing is unique. We all are living the same things over and over because we're human. We're human nature, but now we have God. The next thing in James 1:5, after you ask questions and all of that, and you got questions, pray. God, the Bible says God will give you wisdom without judgment. Without judgment, God will give you. And when you're spiritually mature, you learn not to judge. You just learn that we are the same and we help one another.
Right.
You want to build, ready, spiritual relationships. And it's just about what I just said. When I'm floating around on Sundays and I'm trying to get in your lives, okay, you're busy, but I'm calling you all out now that you got to give me a little bit more than just a hi, Miss Carla, and a hug. You got to share with me a little bit more. You got to ask me, where have I been? You got to find out. You know I just got married in August and y'all just all left me. And that's how it could be. Nobody calls me and says, hey, can we get some coffee except for Sue? Nobody, right? And I'm not saying I feel bad about it. I'm just saying spiritual relationships. I'm helping you to grow. I want that relationship. You may see me as an older lady or your grandma, whatever it is. I'm fine with that. Because, you know, how do people see Jesus? They didn't really recognize him. But heart to heart, I'm a person. When I come, I want to know you. Some people just went away. I didn't know that until I saw Facebook. Yeah. And I could have told you to bring me back a t-shirt, but I didn't know you was going nowhere. Y'all could just share these little fast things. Quick break is coming, Miss Carla. Yay! You know, something. I just saw everybody happy last week. And I was like, why are they so happy? And then I heard, it's spring break. There's a different air. Or let me know when I come around. Hey, it's really good to see you. Because I'm really happy to see y'all. Build your spiritual relationships where it's not just high and by.
Right.
Get in each other. In fact, let me say this. Let me not say get in each other's lives. Say the things that you don't say, that you don't want to say. Say the things that are hard. If you don't see somebody, call them and say, hey, I missed you. And they go, yeah, well, I wasn't feeling good. Well, how come you didn't come out anyway? Oh. Not, can I bring you something? Close, challenge, because we're supposed to love one another. If we don't do it, we are really walking around here acting like we don't have the Holy Spirit that makes us bold. If I hurt your feelings, you know I'm going to say sorry. You know I didn't mean to do it. Especially if it helps you to kind of want to grow. Then I'm really going to be like, okay, that was God. God told me it. Amen. But that's what we're supposed to do. I've raised my 7 kids in that exact way. I can tell you 1,000 times I've apologized to them. And every time they've accepted it, maybe. But we still have this great relationship because they know I speak the truth in love. The next thing is, discuss your quiet times. It helps you to be accountable.
Yes.
Not, I just read James and it was awesome. Break it down, because you can. Learn how to do it. When you confess your sin, you're not confessing it for somebody to beat you up with the Bible. You're confessing it to show your humility and your vulnerability, and somebody will look at you and be like, dang, she's really brave for saying that. It helps you to grow. And it becomes okay. I can tell you the worst things. I won't say it all right in front of everybody, just because it's not wise. But it's okay to confess your sin because it helps you to grow. And seek to encourage one another. Pay attention to what's going on. Who got a haircut? Who got into school? Who likes Chinese food and just got it? Whatever. Learn something about the person next to you that you don't know. And stop hanging out with just the people that you know. Learn to hang out with the... If you're sitting over here, you need to be sitting over there next time. And vice versa, mix it up. Because I can come in here and see right away who's not here because your seat is empty. But it ain't supposed to be your seat. You're supposed to be somewhere else, so I have to look really hard so I can say, like tonight, I don't see you. But that's because she's normally sitting there. But she might raise her hand right now and go, oh, I'm right here. She's not here. But I'm just saying, I can tell from your seat when you're not here. So y'all need to start mixing it up and let's have some real relationships and try hard. And I'm going to tell you one other thing. Eli, I'm going to get off of this in a second. I'm going to tell you this. If you're the talker and or you're the person that doesn't like to talk or share your life, that's fine. That was me, believe it or not. I came to Jersey and I didn't know nobody. And I'm going to tell you, nobody was friendly to me. I'm going to just be very honest. Nobody was friendly because everybody had their friends. They don't know me. And I came with a bunch of kids. So I can't even do a lot of things. I always got to take my kids. Nobody knew me. So what I ended up doing was, I volunteered to get in the kids ministry. That's how I met Brielle, right? I volunteered to drive people, which was a big learning experience, because I was driving all the kids all over the place, all the time. They were always at my house. But once I did all of that, see, I became what I wanted somebody to do for me.
Right.
And that's what you all have to do. If you want a good friend, be a good friend. Practice it. And it's not going to happen the first time. Just snapping your fingers like that. It's not going to happen the first time. You're going to call somebody and they're going to look at you. You're going to walk up to them and go, I was wondering if we could have lunch one day. They're going to stare at you or you're going to proceed so kind of like, it's not true. Just, and tell them, I'm just trying to grow. I just want to do this. Be honest and go after it. All right, how about relying on the Holy Spirit? Look at Romans 8:26 and look at what God has given us. Romans 8:26. It says, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans. What that word cannot express. The Holy Spirit prays better than we do. It completely knows. I pray every morning to come to work, and sometimes I just don't even know what to say. I just see the open sky, and I lose myself, and I have to come back. But I know that this scripture is true. I know the scripture is true. And you got to start relying on the Holy Spirit. And without it and without prayer, how are you going to grow? You have to learn to accept grace, rely, and study these things out. Don't take my scriptures and think that this is it. I encourage you to study it out, and I dare you to come back and tell me what you learned. Something that you figured out for tonight that you want to share with me, that you learned this and how it impacted you. You want to learn about fasting. That's a spiritual practice that I don't hardly ever hear talked about. But you need to learn about it because it's important. You want to read commentaries and other books that's going to help you, and do it as a team. Get somebody to help you be accountable. You definitely want to serve. The Bible says God requires, he desires, and I asked him one day, what is it that you really want, God? I knew that scripture about love one another, like that grace. What do you really want? And I didn't know where to look. When I was reading one thing, and somehow my eyes landed smack dab on this scripture in Matthew, it says, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. And if you study out what mercy means, you need to learn how to have it. And it comes across not just in serving the poor, it's in so many ways that your spirit is broken when you see somebody else in need for anything. You need to learn what that is. All right, so we looked at 2 Timothy 2. Did I look at Philippians? Oh, yeah. So here, look at 2 Peter. It's Peter 1. It's verses 3 to 8. This is your exact blueprint for growing in the church. And if you don't remember this, if you don't try this, amen for you. Listen to what this says. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. He's given us everything through his power. Through these, he has given us very great and precious promises. All right, so what does it say? Verse 5. For this reason, this is number one. Make every effort to add to your faith. That's where you started, right? You started out believing in Jesus? Well, add to it with goodness. What does that mean? Ask for wisdom and discernment and do good works. Learn what's right and what's wrong. That's 2 Peter. Did I say first? Okay, I thought I said, I have a big two right here, but okay. It says, and to your goodness, if now that you might want to know what's right and wrong, what do you add to it? Knowledge. How do you want to get knowledge? It's not just talking to people. It's not you listen to podcasts. You need to read your Bible. That's what God says, right? To knowledge what? Self-control. Because that ain't easy. Once you learn what you can't do, that's what you want to do. And you have to practice and learn self-control. And you have to study these things out. It's not a simple sentence. To self-control, what do you have to do? Which is discipline. You learn what you got to do, and you stay at it. Perseverance. And to perseverance, godliness, because that's what you're doing. You are representing God. And to godliness, when you know that you're representing God and you're securing God, that's when you have that great brotherly love where you can ask people, how are you doing and you really care? And you'll know to share with people so that you can help build them up, even if they're doing fine. You can have these real relationships. And to brotherly kindness, you need to add what? Love. It's going to come. I really, sincerely love you all from not the bottom of my heart, from somewhere God has given me. I don't understand it, but I know it's true and it's real. Now, this is my finale. Philippians 3, 12 to 14. And then I will be off of this for you. Thank you. And I'm talking about me now, right? Philippians 3, 12. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect. But I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. Wait a minute. But one thing I do, I forgot, I'm paraphrasing. One thing I do know I do, I forget what's behind and I look forward to what's ahead. It's not just heaven, it's tomorrow if I have it. It's tonight if I get to speak to you. I look forward to every moment that God has given me to accomplish his goal, which is loving the people around me and growing and learning in his word. Amen.
All right, don't you all feel full now?
Yes.
That was awesome.
How do I follow that? Come on. I'm going to start with prayer.
Father, thank you so much that you love us so much more than we can understand. I'm always just so encouraged by how you persevere with us, Father, how you love us, how you called us to be your daughters, how you've given us your word, how you let Jesus die on the cross, and then you kept coming after each one of us, God. Thank you so much that you love us like that. And I pray for this time, God, that with these hearts that are so full, we can really commit ourselves to loving you with all that we are, with all that we have, with all that we do, with all that we hope, with all that we feel, and all that we pray. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Wow. So I need help. Can somebody turn to, I'm going to give you guys scriptures, so just raise your hand and I'll give you a scripture. Anybody want to read for me? Okay, so Matthew 22:37, Brittany, Mark 12:30, Alex, Luke 10:27, Brielle, 1 Corinthians 13, you're going to read 1 through 8. Sydney, turn to Job 2:7-10. Any more? Amber, Luke 10, verse 2. Wanifa, Hebrews 10:19. That's a long one, so we might end up there. All right. Yours was Matthew 22:37. Can you read that, please?
Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind."
Awesome. Brittany, Mark 12:30.
Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength.
Alex, Luke 10:27.
He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all of your soul and with all of your strength and with all of your mind and love your neighbor as yourself.
So when I looked at this, I was looking at the fact that Jesus actually says, we have this in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And the focus is really on loving God. And I think about spiritual maturity, and it's loving God. Mm-hmm. It's these relationships that we get to have because we love God. Mm-hmm. I would not still be here except for the people who loved me and taught me how to love God. So let's look at 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 8. Who has that? Yeah.
If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. It does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered, and it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. Love never fails.
That's it. Thank you. So what I wanted us to think about tonight is, how do we treat God? So when something happens that, you know, things don't go the way we want, because usually as disciples, that's kind of when we have a problem with God, right? Most of the time, you know, life is good, you got your job, you know, things are okay, and you think you're faithful because things are going okay, right? We have a hard time being faithful and close to God when things, what?
Go crazy.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Like, what's going on? But love always trusts. You have to go back to the Bible and go, you know what? I know God loves me. I know he has a plan to prosper me. I know he's going to bring me through this. But do we really think that way with God? And what Carla was talking about is true, is very real. You do want to be vulnerable with God. You want to talk to him. You want to let him know how you're feeling. But God loves you, and we get to love him back in return. And I really want us to understand that maturity is about loving God and understanding God's love for you, even when you have those hard times, right? Because it's the hard times that we think we're going to fall away from. Sometimes it's the blessings. Sometimes life is so good and you're so happy you forget you need God, and you can fall away that way too.
Yeah.
Come
on, Ellie.
Hebrews 10:19. Well, actually, before you go to that one, let's do Job 2, 7 through 10. Go ahead, Bobby.
I do. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and afflicted Job with painful sores from the soles of his feet to the crown of his head. Then Job took a piece of broken pottery and scraped himself with it as he sat among the ashes. His wife said to him, "Are you still maintaining your integrity? Curse God and die." He replied, "You are talking like a foolish woman. Shall we accept good from God and not trouble?" In all this, Job did not sin in what he said.
I really like that scripture because it helps us understand. We got to trust God. When we're getting those hard times and things are happening and we think, oh, God doesn't love me. If he loved me, this would not happen. How do you know? How do you know that that's not exactly the trial you need so that you can grow? Because the next thing that's going to come is going to be even harder than that. Mm-hmm. You don't know. We don't know what our lives are going to hold. And so we've got to trust that God has a better plan. And when these things happen that look terrible, God's working it out. Persevere. Mm-hmm. So let's go to Hebrews 10:19.
Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most high place by the blood of Jesus. Oh, go on.
Oh, just keep reading. I'm going there, so I'll tell you this
one. By faith, we live in a way open for us through the curtain. That is, God. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with his full assurance of faith grace, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water.
Just read to the end of, I think that's 25.
Okay. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we must spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as we see the day approaching.
Right. We have to persevere. We have a great high priest over the house of God, so we get to draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith. Our faith matters. We have to hold on to it, but it's got to be refined. We have to, like, how do you know you have faith unless it's tested? Okay. Since we're so full, let's go to Ephesians 6. Somebody else turn to Philippians 1:6. Wendy, can you go to Ephesians 6, the full armor of God, and read that?
Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm, then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and petitions. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people.
Awesome. Thank you. I love this description of how you put on the full armor of God. And there have been whole sermons preached on this because it's a really amazing passage. As you guys think about it, and we'll try to go through it pretty quickly, there's a part of the body that's not covered. Has anybody seen it? You've got a belt on. Around your waist, you have the breastplate of righteousness. Your feet have sandals, right? The gospel of peace. Anybody want to take a guess?
Your legs.
I don't know. We've got the helmet on the head. We've got a sword. What?
No, never mind.
That's what I thought.
Who's got your back? What does that verse say? With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. You guys don't realize it, but the role that we have for each other is a very, very important one. We really need to pray for each other. We really need to have each other's backs. If I have your back, I can see what's coming at you, and I can pray about it. If your back is exposed, it's not a good thing. But that's our role for each other.
Amen.
Philippians 1:6.
Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus.
That scripture gave me so much confidence and relief and security. I got baptized in 1990. I think I was 25. This was a long time ago. I'll be 28 years old this year. 29? My math is off. Okay. But I was really worried. I wasn't somebody that I felt like, oh, I got this. Yeah. I wasn't someone who could commit to something and finish. I mean, I finished college, but the only reason why I finished it is I was like, I can't transfer someplace else. I just got to stay here and finish this. This is just... But I wasn't somebody who... I mean, okay, so what I'm trying to say is I can set my mind and go after things, right? But I was really worried about deciding to be a disciple. I was like, every day? Like, I'm going to try to be right with God every day. Like, not just Sunday, every day. I was like, me? I don't know about that. And a disciple shared that with me. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you, he's able to carry it to the day of completion.
Come on.
Yeah. Oh, all right, here I am, 29 years later. And it's still day by day, but it's God holding on to me. One of the questions I wanted to ask you was, who is the main character in your life? Anybody want to guess? If we're reading your story of your life, who's the main character in it? You think that, right? God's the main character in our lives. That's why when we read the Bible, it's so compelling. It's God's story in the lives of these people. I was like, this is amazing. You get to see God moving faithfully in these people's lives. All right, Luke 10, 2. Could you read that number?
He told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into this harvest field.
Okay, so I'm gonna share with you guys. Can I be a little vulnerable and personal here?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Like Carlos said, I love campus. Like, I love campus. You guys have no idea how encouraging you are to my faith, how refreshing it is. And when I was at the retreat, the one we just had in White Plains, I just felt inspired. And I came back thinking, I want to do more for God. And it actually started before the retreat. When I came back, similar to Carla, I took a day, and we were fasting for that Women's Day, right? And I was fasting, and I felt the Holy Spirit, and I was like, really? Oh, really? I don't know. And I felt like the Spirit was saying, I want you to do more. Why don't you think about going full time in the ministry? It's like, God, I'm 53 years old. I mean, who's gonna hire me full-time in the ministry? So maybe I don't get to do that, we'll have to see, but I'm still dreaming.
Yeah, come on.
And I still want God to use my life to make a difference. When I was at the retreat, I kept hearing, the harvest is plentiful, the workers are few, but this room seems full, and we go out, and we share our faith, and who wants to come, and who wants to study? We're not looking at this the right way. God said the harvest is plentiful. That means they're out there.
Yeah.
We have to go find them.
Yeah.
That's what we have to do.
Come on, Allie.
Time is really short. I have not ever seen a civilization do well when these things are happening that we're having here. If you look back in history, anybody remember Sodom and Gomorrah? And how bad things were there, and God was just like, I'm wiping it out. I'm starting over. So I listen to the radio a lot when I'm driving back and forth. If I'm not praying, I pray a lot too in the car. There's a couple of things that are happening now, and I believe people should have the right to do things. But there's something that I was convinced of a long time ago, and that is that you cannot legislate righteousness.
Right?
Right? You can't make laws that are going to make people do the right thing.
Yeah.
Okay? Whatever your thoughts are about abortion, women were still doing it, and dying because they were doing it on themselves and doing unsafe ones. So I'm not trying to say, what I'm trying to say is that the law doesn't mean it's a right thing to do.
Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to say. In New York and New Jersey, they are seriously pushing to legalize recreational marijuana. It's gonna be legal. So alcohol is legal right now, right? But we know it's not okay to get drunk. But with marijuana, what are you doing? You're getting high. I mean, it's not like you're not gonna get high.
Right.
But now that this law is coming out that it's okay to do that, where are our convictions?
Yeah.
Something to think about.
Yeah.
Guess what else they're decriminalizing? Prostitution. We're calling them sex workers. Guys, the harvest is plentiful. The time is short. So what I want to encourage you guys is, I know you've got to be full from everything that was shared tonight. If you can break up into groups of three or four, Carla, did you have anything in specific that maybe they can go over the practicals you gave them and pick out which ones they want to do? Okay, so go over the practicals, look at the practicals that she gave you. Really, the practicals I gave you as well is pray for one another and love God. If you love God, you will persevere. Because when somebody hurts you, you're not going to make it about that person. You hurt people too. Don't act like you don't hurt people. Somebody hurt you, all right? Forgive them and move on and apologize for the times you've hurt other people. But go look at those practicals, break up into groups of three or four. Carla and I are available for any questions you might have. I love you guys so, so much. Thank you.
Amen.